No, 55.
55?
Yeah, we're starting.
We're starting 56. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. This is what the Lord says. Now, if you can start an article, if you can start a writing, if you can start a sermon that way, and you can back it up, that's a pretty good place to start. Because we want to... Do you remember? Probably 10 or 15 years ago, it was a real impressive commercial. These two people are talking in a group, and one of them says, well, my broker, E.F. Hutton, and everybody gets quiet. Because when you said E.F. Hutton, they want to know whoever E.F. Hutton is. I don't know who he played for, what team, was a quarterback or what. But whatever E.F. Hutton did was worth finding out. It's a joke, Janet. He didn't play football. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right. What we've been talking about the last 10 minutes is exactly what that says. Maintain justice. Do the proper thing. Now, it did not say, and take me at my word, it did not say maintain the law. Because so often we think law and justice are the same thing. Do you know that in the early part of America, it was against the law to teach a woman to read, to let a woman vote, let alone run for a political office? I know you didn't say that. I know that you didn't say what I thought you said. I know you're a bad influence on it, Kenny. Straighten up. Dick, what's the word you used a minute ago, Dick?
I said shame that happened.
Okay, that's what I thought. It's funny how that sounded like smart when I heard it the first time. It was illegal to teach a minority to read and to write as impunishable by jail. Now, those were the laws. Just being a law does not make something right. It's got to be justified. It's got to be in the eyes of God. And far too many laws that we have today, God is not involved. Now, you may have nine supremes sitting up in black robes in a court, and there may be the balance of the law and the blind. Folks, how much of that is really justice? God says, maintain justice, and the next line is something for us. Do what is right. Do what is right. Do we do what is right often enough, or do we just do what is expedient? The easy thing. Do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand. Now, okay, I'll grant you this. It's written about 700 B.C. We had another 2,000 to it, 2,700 years ago. We're saying, what do you mean by close at hand? But who's measuring? To a two-year-old, one Christmas to the next, seems like forever. It's a half their life. Those of us who have exceeded 65, go on 70, something like that, one Christmas to the next is like, it's Christmas again? I was somewhere this week. Probably Home Depot or Lowe's. They had Christmas trees up. They jumped over Halloween. They jumped over Thanksgiving. They had Christmas trees all over the place. Yes, ma'am.
Walmart started putting up Christmas decorations in September.
Of what year? Last year? Schools. And so you go from school supplies to Christmas. Well, see, when you do that, the comparison of time has changed. So when God says it's close, since God had no beginning and no end, close is just a matter of speech to Him. It's close enough for Him. And my righteousness will soon be revealed. Well, now we're still kind of waiting on that. And again, He's not saying what's legal will be revealed. He says my righteousness. I want us to do what is a good thing to do. Now, Miss Joy, what are they going to do to the teachers who do not follow through that noun sensitive pronoun and no pronoun sensitive and all that?
I don't think that was stated, but she did mention something about her daughter.
So infer that you better do it, in other words.
I
How many kids in a school are transies or whatever they call them, that that's really affecting one way or another?
I think that what they have said now, that there's considerably fewer
on 4%. So the mouse tells the elephant what to do. Charles? My grandson, Becky's grandson, same child, forfeited a wrestling match when the next one in line was a girl. Because I'm not going to wrestle. I'm not going to. If you know what I'm talking about, high school wrestling, there's a lot of physical contact. Just take my word for it. And he said, I'm not going to do it. And walked away and lost the match. Miss Joy. Good or bad? I preached a sermon in 1978 in Griffith, Indiana, after watching a couple of movies about Brussels, Belgium. Now, at that time, I don't know if it still is or not, Brussels, Belgium had the world's largest computer. And it was so large, the people there referenced it to the beast, because it supposedly had the name of everybody that was in the European Common Market. And in European Common Market? What are they trying to break up? Brexit and all that kind of stuff? The EU. And I still think the computer is the beast. And if they come out with this artificial intelligence that they're coming with, and the general artificial intelligence, the computer won't need humans. If you watch the Terminator movie, it's almost here. America is trying to get Russia and China to sign off of not having, are you ready for this? Killing machines. An actual robot that is programmed cannot be deprogrammed. And if it's sent in to kill a group, it will shoot until it's destroyed or kill everybody there. Killing machines, killing robots.
Do you remember that movie by Will Smith called Robots?
Yes.
Yeah, you're talking about
that. Yeah, but they're a lot better at it now. Drones, folks, drones. Evidently, they used a drone when they shot over Baghdadi Boo last week and several other places. So we are getting to things that has been foretold. Absolutely. And my righteousness will soon be revealed. When God gets good and ready, we're going to know about it. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps his hands from doing any evil. That seems simple enough, doesn't it? As long as you don't talk to anybody, or go anywhere, or buy anything, or do anything. This is fairly restrictive, but wouldn't you rather be around somebody that holds fast to the truth? That keeps the Sabbath? It respects God, in other words? Does it desecrate it? Keeps away from doing evil? They grabbed a kid, 22-year-old yesterday, who'd been walking around during the daylight grabbing hold of women. And it wasn't their hand they was grabbing hold of, and that's all I'm going to say. And kept it up till finally some good Samaritan turned him in. I hope he gets a reward. The turner-inner gets a reward. So there is the evil out there, and people, as long as they get away with it. Now, in my opinion, in my days, Miss Joy, at the Bryan Station High School in Lexington, Kentucky, if a bunch of guys had tried to get through the door, either the girls' swimming team, one of them was 6'4", and had shoulders bigger than mine, or the boys' basketball or football team would have been at the door, stopping them. Nowadays, those kids would probably go to jail. Let no foreigner who has himself, who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. There were non-birth Hebrews who converted into Hebrew. They call them apostolites. Proselytes, yeah. And he's saying now, you're not a born Hebrew, but yet if you follow God, you're bound to God, then you can't lose your salvation because you've done all you've been allowed to do. And we're considered part of the Hebrew family of God. He says, those persons should not say, the Lord will exclude me from his people, because he can't do that. They belong to God. Don't try to knock yourself out of what you earned or deserved from following God. Let out any eunuch complain, I'm only a dry tree. The eunuchs were the ones who, either because they were captured as prisoners or whatever reason, they had themselves altered. They could not impregnate a woman. Let's just put it that way. That's far enough to go with that one. And they're saying, I'm only a dry tree. No, because you belong to God. It doesn't matter your condition. There are some societies, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. There are some societies that will not allow a maimed person, a person with a mental disability, a person who maybe is paraplegic or quadriplegic, that has an amputation, join their group because they're not perfect enough to be a part of them. I can't find that in the Bible anywhere either. But people have made the rules up to suit them. That's not godly.
That's the way some churches are today, and that's what's been involved in this world. I'm not saying just the United States. It's happening all over the world, as we heard
about. And for that, it's scary. Because we get so involved in piddly stuff. If what would have happened with all the time and the energy and the money, and if I offend you with this, I'm sorry, spending on plastic versus paper straws. You know what I'm talking about, Janet. We go to a Saturday morning paper straw place. I chew through about three of them, and they taste terrible. That old glue's gooey. If they had spent that amount of money on the unborn children, or trying to teach somebody something, or godly stuff, I think it could make a change. But we get so wrapped up in the little stuff that we forget about the big. We're majoring in the minors, and we forget about the important stuff. To them I will give within my temple and the walls a memorial, and the name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. Those who have been loyal. See, anybody, if you have the right parents, you can be born a Jew. You didn't ask to be born a Jew. You were born a Jew because of your parenting, your DNA. That doesn't mean anything special. I suspect many of those people who stood at the bottom of the wall when Pilate was preaching, hollering, crucify him, were Jewish. Matter of fact, we know they were. But yet that didn't make them be on the right side. But those who stood up, Simon of Cyrene was probably not a Jew. There were probably several others that were not. And they stood up for Jesus. Uh-huh. Look at the Corinthian centurion. He was not Jewish, but he knew what God wanted and tried to obey him. All right, we'll go with this. The foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and worship him. You know, it's talking about us. We're the foreigners. Unless there's one or two of us in here that have Jewish DNA, we're the foreigners. But we bound ourselves to God. We try to obey him, serve him. Therefore, we are in that point of qualification. You can't make that part up, it's there, something that we've earned because of what Christ did for us, and we accepted it. To keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, to hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain. Of course, that's the hill where the temple is. There's no question about that. We'll bring them to my holy mountain and give them the joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. Now, this is Old Testament. So their way of worshiping God would have been the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. Now we don't do it. We don't do it that way. Our sacrifice was Jesus. But yet in those days they would be accepted on his altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Jerusalem itself is a special city made that way by God and those who try to follow him. For it is the center of Christianity, the center of Judaism, and the center of the Muslims. That Dome of the Rock is where the Muslims decided that they're going to interrupt the flow and take over. But that's been a very important city. And in the past couple years, when the new administration accepted Jerusalem as the legal, that's not the word I want to use, where they had the embassy, thank you. I started something with an A, it's an E, the embassy and all. Then that said, we accept as America, Jerusalem as a place of the Hebrews and a place of God. And that's what he's speaking of. The sovereign Lord declares he will gather the exiles of Israel. I will gather them, still others to them, beside those already gathered. 1948. There's no doubt in my mind that God put us in the Second World War to free the Jewish nations and to reassemble. Because it says there they have to come together. They're the ingathering. They're the ones that have gone out. And all the deals that were made to bring the Jews back. That movie, The Exodus, is about that specific. And we understand that God has kept that promise. I brought the exiles to Israel. Gathered them together. And put them with the Jews that were already there. So that's another prediction in the Old Testament that came through 2700 years later. But again, time means nothing to God. Come all ye beasts of the field, come and devour all ye beasts of the forest. He says, Israel watchmen are blind, for they lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs and cannot bark. They lie around and dream, they love to sleep. That's not a very complimentary station about your soldiers that are supposed to be protecting the country. The watchmen of the wall aren't doing their job. I told you many times, and it keeps haunting me, I guess, about Heather. Heather and her husband started coming to our church in Georgetown. And we would have for Wednesday night, we had an adult Bible study. For Wednesday during the day, we had a senior adult Bible study. And one day Heather says, I want to be married. I want to be baptized. When Heather was about 9.5 months pregnant, it looked like a pencil that had swallowed a gumball. But I got to wait. My doctor wants me to wait. And the day came, the baby was born. She's all back in action again, and she was baptized. And she introduced me to her father and her mother. Her father was the head. Episcopalian, Becky, head Episcopalian of the entire state of Kentucky. The head dog as high as you can get, and I don't know how high that is. Monsignor, right this, the right, wrong, something else. And he came to the baptism, and she started talking to him about it afterwards. She told me this, told the whole class this. He said, I'm glad you got baptized. She said, but Dad, you never spoke of it. Well, he said, I knew it was important, but our church wouldn't allow me to talk about it. And I had, for once in a long time, I had nothing to say. She said, but you all weren't afraid to talk about it. See, we need people like that, that they're not afraid to introduce the good news. And Heather Roach was her name. Roach, what a name. Where was I? Oh, the dogs are mighty appetites. They never have enough. They just devour you. The shepherds who lack understanding, they all turn on their own way. In other words, they don't know what's best for those around them. We need leaders. Anybody in here not ever flown an airplane? Has anybody here never flown? One. There's going to be some over here Saturday, Joe said, if you want to go about 600 miles an hour. Never mind. nobody need to go that far to see. They always, and it's still that way when I flew last week. The ones sitting at the emergency line, exit gate, exit door. Do you have any reason why you should not or you do not want to be sitting at the exit door? We will, if something happens, we will require you, in the unlikely event, if something happens, we will require you to do this, this, and this. I've never seen anybody say yet, no, I don't want to do it. But I've never seen any 65-pound person at that place either. You know, it's pretty much, let's look at the profile and get the ones that have done it before. You've got to be ready to do the job, it says here. The shepherds lack understanding. They each seek their own gain. Come, each one cries, let me get wine. Let us all drink our fill of the beer. And tomorrow will be like today or even far better. I would just be ignorant of what's going on. And we can see other, we never see this in our own country, do we? But we can see this in other countries. Was a Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Well, there's a lot of other things that have gone on in countries where things are going bad, but people don't recognize it. You know, let's just have another party. Let's just have an event. Let's have a festival. Let's have a parade. And these kind of things sort of take over. And when the hard time comes, you can't do it because you're not prepared for it. The righteous perish, and no one ponders it in their heart. Now, that doesn't sound good. Let's go a little bit farther. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away. Next line is important. To be spared from evil. We will look into the periods coming up of the rapture, of the latter days of Christ coming back, and we see that the righteous shall be spared of all the times of tribulation, all the pain that the world's got to go through, because they have not given in. The others have not given in to God. So when you first say the righteous will perish, does anybody in here think you're going to live to be 200 years old? I mean, it may feel that way today, but I mean, you know, we know we're not going to live forever. Unless God comes first, then that forever will be a different place. It will still not be, you know, daily life here on earth. So if we're all knowing that we're going to die, would it not be better for the Lord to take us out and prevent this evil coming upon us? Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They will find rest as they lie in death. I have been to way too many deathbeds. I stood and held hands as someone breathes their last breath. And I have never yet seen a Christian fighting it and resisting and being upset. It seems to me that they are more at peace than the average person is. I don't know who that is, but I don't want to talk to them. It seems to me that they're just even more in peace. Is that God just allowing us to leave without the pain and the suffering? Now, does that mean a Christian never going to have pain or suffering? If you say that to yourself, you're fooling yourself. There's probably less than half of us that's never had an operation in one way or another. Probably two or three of us have had a headache or two in our life. I mean, we can have problems, emotional problems, physical problems, financial problems, whatever they are. We will have problems. I mean, it happened in the apostles' days too. But those are still just temporary. And that's what God's trying to say. I'm going to spare them. But you, come here. You sons of sorcerers, you offsprings of adulterers and prostitutes, whom are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? Are you not a brood of rebels and offsprings of liars? I don't think that's a complimentary sentence at all. I think he's putting them down because he doesn't trust them and trust their ways. And they're going to be rewarded for what they do. I'm not sure it's a good reward that's going to happen right there. And he puts it pretty plain. I do not think that you want to be called sons of sorcerers and off adulterers and prostitutes, sorcerers who do witchcraft, who do predestination, no, predictions. Do y'all have any in Charlotte County at all? I'll read your fortune, the hand there. Do y'all have any in this town? Y'all do in Charlotte Harbor. See, if I was one of those, I'd have a sign that says, come in, I knew you were coming. Yeah, that one worked. I remember that one. It worked. But those are not highly looked at in the Bible because a lot of times those sorcerers, etc., were used to put condemnation upon the Jews. And God would turn it around. You still got your tongue. And I thought that was something invented by a third grader somewhere. They were doing that 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. You burn with lust among the oaks. The oaks are the higher trees up in the hills, the mighty, majestic, wide trees. It's where they would build their sacrifices for their false gods. So you burn with lust among the oaks. You're worshiping your false gods. Your lustfulness is there. Your evil is there. You sacrifice your children in the ravines and under the overhanging crags. Blood sacrifices of adults is not new to the Incas or the Aztecs or anything like that in Central America. It goes way back, even to the days and prior to Moses and all. Moloch. If you want to read a scary thing, you think Halloween's bad, read about the god Moloch, the god of fire. Many cities under the god of Moloch, the foundation in their buildings was laid on top of an empty, or not on top of an empty, but on top of a child that would be born, placed inside of a clay gourd looking thing, sealed up and put down in the foundation for good luck. So they were not against infanticide, if you wish, whatever term you want to use. They were not against it. The worst thing is you sacrifice your children. What they want is more important than their own children. Boo Daddy, when he knew he was at his end and he ran down that dead-end tunnel, started out with 11 of his children. The rest of 8 of them got away. But when he pulled the trigger on that bomb he was wearing, killed 3 of his own kids. Was he trying to protect them for what would happen to him? Was he just that evil, said, am I going to go by myself? Yeah. When a Roman emperor would die, or even a local governor, he would have children from that town killed. So the women and the men of that town would be mournful and crying for their loss of the children. Everybody would think, well, they're all crying over the loss of that governor or emperor. What a big scene made out for themselves. That's evil. The idols among the smooth stones of the ravines are your portion. They are your lot. Yes, to them you have poured in out drink offerings and offered grain offerings. In light of these things, should I relent? Should God say, should I give up? You worship all these false idols. Should I quit trying to punish you? Should I stop and say, well, it's okay. Do over. What's that red button? Is it Target or is it Reset? Staples? Is it Reset or something like that? Oh, Reset comes through Jesus, not hitting a red button. Was it Reset, Denise? Well, I hadn't intended to bring it up, but thank you. Yeah. Resets come a lot different than pushing a red button. Behind your doors and your doorposts, you put your pagan symbols. Forsaking me, you uncovered your bed. You climbed in it and opened it wide and made a pact with those whose beds you love and looked on their nakedness. In other words, it's just the physical sensuality involved. You know, it probably had to be a lot easier to recruit somebody. I'm not making light. I'm being serious. To recruit somebody, which way? You have to give up 10% of your money. You have to not work on one day a week. You have to keep a clean house. Or do anything you want. Be with anybody you want. No rules. Which one would be easier to attract somebody? Even to the point of the second group having temple prostitutes. So you paid your fee, you got with a woman, and you worshiped your God. That's probably quite more attractive than the doing without things required in Judaism. But God said, I will not be mocked. How many things in our today's world that we think are so important that God may be saying right now, I will not be mocked. I will not be mocked. We go on. You were worried. You sent him back. You went to Moloch with olive oil. Now, that's what they made with their offerings, with olive oil, and increased your perfumes. You sent your ambassadors far away. You descended into the grave itself. You were worried by all your ways. But you would not say it is hopeless. You found renewal in your strength. You did not faint. Whom have you so dreaded and feared that you've been false to me? You lied to God. I don't think that works too well. And neither remembered me or pondered this in your heart. It is not because I have long been silent. Why do you not fear me? And remember, we can use that word fear and respect together, and it's about the same thing. One may be more of an emotional or a mental, and the other one may be more of a physical thing. I will expose your righteousness to your works, and they will not benefit you. In other words, the little bit good that you think you did, far does not outweigh the evil that you're involved in. It's not a comparison. There are a lot of strange shows on TV. The Hoarders, y'all have seen The Hoarders. And we can think of about a dozen other things. And I think the main reason those shows are on is to make us feel good. Because every time I see a Hoarders, I say, my garage's not that bad. So I feel good about it. She said, I wish you hadn't said that, Dwight. When we compare things, we're too often comparing them to everybody else. We should be comparing them with, what does God want? That's what he's been saying. You just think you're so much better than everybody else. Are you not better, but are you good enough for me? And the answer obviously is no. It's not working that way. When you cry out for help, let your collection of idols save you. Well, that's not going to do it. The wind will carry all of them off. A mere breath will blow them all away, but the man who makes me his refuge will inherit the land. Refuge, a place to hide, a place to get strength, a place to get comfort, a place for protection. When God becomes our refuge, then we have true protection. Now, in Southwest Florida, we have an occasional visitor. And I'm not talking about snowbirds. I'm talking about big winds. When you live in this area and hear that something's coming, you start thinking about, now, where am I going to go? Where do I want to hide? If there's a fire coming, several years ago, we were here in 96, 7, and 8. Back then, we had several bad turns of, I guess, forest fires. I don't know what else you would call them. Small fires, but rolled and big, and the big pines, and they would spit out fireballs from the pine trees and stuff like that. Where do I want to hide? What place will not get burnt down? If a flood's coming, you know there's 6 inches of water's coming. Or let's take it more practical. You know you're going to get a foot of snow in the next couple of days. Not down here. Trust me, I saw the map. But where's the best place for me to shelter? Where's the best place for me to shelter if there's no electricity or no water? That's our refuge. And God says, I'm your refuge. These other things can fail you. Was it not Charlie? And was it the Civic Center that was supposed to be a hurricane shelter and like part of the roof got peeled back? You know what happened in 04? Same thing? And it did peel off the roof? So that refuge wasn't much of a refuge. Matter of fact, that was a good place to get hurt. So often things we think is going to make us safe aren't what's going to make us safe. And that's what we have to be very careful of. And on the front row of the church, who would have ever expected a 9-foot-long rattlesnake to be on top of the pedals of the organ? Because the look on Irene's face, that rattlesnake had to be 9 or 10 foot long. How big was it, Joe? About this big? I thought about it, but I decided it was not a good idea to come in here Sunday and drop a bunch of little black licorice whips in there and reach it. They tell me the rattlesnakes aren't bad to take and just drop a couple in my mouth. I would rather eat the rattlesnake than the black licorice, though. But yeah, that was it. Oh, Irina found a refuge. Her feet was up underneath her legs, and she was sitting up on the front row. Bob had to protect her the whole event. Is any of that not true?
No, it's very true.
There you go.
I prayed Bob was going to shoot.
I didn't hear it. I don't want to.
She said, "Put bird shot or snake shot in your pistol next time you come to church and shoot the snake, because it'll destroy the organ." But a man who makes me his refuge, he will enter the land and will possess my holy mountain. Right there, we're going to stop. The holy mountain is the place where the temple is. And if we go to God, we'll be where his temple is. And we know that where his temple is where he stays, because that's the Ark of the Covenant. And he stays on top of the temple. Mark down chapter 57, verse 14. That's where we're going. We've only got about 3 more weeks in Isaiah, so it's going to get pretty heavy and pretty jammed up. Any other thoughts or questions?